us by His Spirit. See, it hadn't entered into the heart of man naturally, but supernaturally, God hath revealed those things unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, this is talking we saved people, have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the unsaved man, the natural man. Receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimonies again this morning. And now as your word goes forth, I pray our hearts will be attentive, Lord, prepared. Take in what you have for us. Put all this into your hands this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Knowing about God or knowing God. And we see in our text, as I mentioned, that the things that God has prepared for them that love Him hasn't entered into the heart of the natural man or the unsaved man. And the reason is because, and even as a saved person, we can't think big enough. Our scope is not broad enough, it's not deep enough, the things that God has for us. What a testimony that goes right along with the message today. Janiah was talking about things that she thought that she was alone, but she wasn't alone, and God revealed that to her, see? The natural man had not revealed that to her, but the Spirit revealed that to her, that she was not alone. And buddy, that there's light and there's not darkness. And there was things that she'd probably heard them before and all that, but it really literally dawned on her that those things, that was a great testimony to go along with what this is saying to us right here. We can't think big enough, broad enough, deep enough, even understand the things. There's things you can't explain. I'm doing a Wednesday night. We're talking about the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and what that's like. Well, you really can't explain it. I mean, you can give some description, but it's hard to explain. Somebody, the natural man doesn't get it. They can't understand that, the unsaved person. And so what we know this, and what that verse is telling us right there, these things, and even the things about God, cannot be known by intellect. By knowledge, intellectual knowledge, or mental assent. You're not going to know God. We know God by His Spirit. See, verse 10 of the text said that, verse 10, he said, for God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This is how we know those things. This is how we know God. In verse 12, he said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, Christian, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. This is why we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So we know the natural man, and by knowledge, by mental assent, you can't know God. You can only know about God. And that's going to be the gist of what I want to say to you this morning. And so, you know, when we think about the Holy Spirit of God, we were talking this morning I did the Sunday school class. I want to do some preaching on this probably on Sunday night coming up soon about evangelism, about why, you know, about carrying the gospel out. As Christian people, we're supposed to carry the gospel to the world, that's dying world. And when we look at the church as a whole, why is it so weak in that? Why are we, it's the Great Commission. And I gave them a text where, you know, Jesus spoke and Peter heard him speak, and he went and found Andrew, his brother, or he spoke and Andrew found Peter the other way around. He found Peter and brought him to Jesus. And then he spoke to Philip, and Philip found Nathaniel, and he said, come and see. Well, what they didn't have the Great Commission. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. The day of Pentecost hadn't come, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, they were excited about what they knew. Now, they didn't know the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah, and they knew that they thought that that's who Jesus was, but they didn't have a lot of things that we have going for them right there. Who told them to go out and do that? Nobody. Jesus didn't tell them, but man, they were excited about the things of God, and they went and got somebody. So when you look at evangelism in the church, why are we so weak in that area? And we ask some questions. Well, we're afraid, of rejection. Pride, that's flesh, right? We're afraid we won't know enough. That's the flesh. What did they know? They didn't have a Bible. What did they know? They just knew what they heard. They knew what they, you know, what has Jesus done for you? You ought to know that. If he hasn't done anything for you, you don't have a message. You don't have a testimony. You don't have a witness. He doesn't, you know, we don't have it. And so, but what I'm getting at, we've kind of overlooked the Holy Spirit of God in the church today, the supernatural aspect. I was sharing with the guy one time. The guy's a Christian guy. I know him, used to come here. And I was talking about the Christ life, you know, the Christ, with Christ living in us. And, you know, he's an intelligent guy too. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, that just doesn't seem very practical. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is not practical. It's supernatural. It's not a practical life. It's a supernatural life. And that has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in the average churches today in Christian lives has become incidental and not fundamental in their lives. The Holy Spirit, he must be fundamental in our lives. That's why. And it shows the reason that we have fear. The Holy Spirit expels all fear. Holy Spirit expels all fear. And the reason that we don't have concern for the lost, but the Holy Spirit of God, God is love, and the Holy Spirit is God as well, and that's love, and we're full of the love of God. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have compassion for people that are lost. We'll have that in our life. That's just the way it is. And so it shows in our lives when we've left the Holy Spirit out or cut him out of everything that we say and do and think in our Christian life. As I said, talking on Wednesday night about the fullness of the Spirit and what it is and why we need the fullness of the Spirit and how we receive the fullness of the Spirit. And, you know, and really it's an act of God, but it means that we can pray, and the things that we should do. But verse 14, you know, when we look at verse 14 of our text that I read this to you this morning, it said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And Ephesians 3:19 says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, I might have used this last Sunday night or last Sunday. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that sounds like a mutually exclusive verse. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. But see, what that means when you really study that, what it means like this, is to know the love of Christ that you cannot know it intellectually. You can study it till you're blue in the face and you will not know the love of Christ. You can know about it. And you can see people that had the love of Christ, the illustrations, but you don't know it. You'll never know it intellectually. And it's not that we shouldn't study the Word of God. It's not that we shouldn't study about that, but you're never going to know it experientially. You'll never know it fully to understand it. And even then, I don't know that we'll ever understand the breadth and the width and the depth. Now, we can get out there farther, but we'll never, because it's it's beyond our comprehension, so to speak. But it's not going to be known. It's got to be known experientially, and I mean supernaturally. It's got to be, let me tell you what, because the overwhelming thing, the overwhelming characteristic of being full of the Spirit of God is you are full of the love of God. I'm going to tell you that, man. I mean, you just love everybody and everything, man. I mean, that's what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So the question is, you know, do you know God or do you just know about God? You know, you just, those are something to think about this all along the way. Knowing about God, not the verse point, knowing about God. Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, and you hath he, the Holy Spirit, quickened, which means made alive. You hath he, the Holy Spirit, quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, dead in trespasses, and what is to be dead spiritual death? What is dead in sins? What does that really mean? Because we know we're alive physically. Dead in sin, in sins. It's a spiritual death. It means there's no spiritual life. And it means that, I use this word for a lack of words, it's probably improper, but it means that the organ that God had put in us originally to know him with, to commune with him, which we're talking about the Spirit, died. It died in Adam. The Spirit didn't die, but it was separated from man. And so what happened when Adam was born and he had communion fellowship with God, but boy, when sin came into the world, that separation took place, and that Spirit within him the Spirit of God within him was taken away. It was separated from him. And so it was a spiritual life, the spiritual God side, God's spiritual side of him died in man. And of course, we inherited that through Adam. The spiritual life died. So now man had to depend upon another inferior organ. This ought to excite you. The mind, your brain. Yeah, we in trouble now, right? We had to start figuring everything out with the brain. But you can't figure out spiritual things with the mind. See, you can't. So we had this inferior organ, and that's what we deal with. Now, it's, you know, we have reason. In our mind, we have reason. But listen, man, when we look at the things of God, I mean, the Bible does say, come, let us reason together. But there's things, if we try to figure out by reason what God does, see, we're not going to figure that out. We won't be able to do it. And so by reason, in that sense, and intellect, man cannot know God, only know about God. Now, head knowledge is involved. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, that we ought to study the word of God because we need to know about God. In other words, to know him, you know, in a deeper way. And there's a lot of illustrations. Now, I can speak to some of you that are older. You'll know what I'm talking about. How many of you remember the movie The Birdman of Alcatraz had Burt Lancaster played in it? You remember that old black and white movie? Now, I read up about Robert Stroud was the Birdman of Alcatraz's real name. And it wasn't a movie, of course. He is an evil man. Listen, I mean, Burt Lancaster, he looked like a nice guy. You know, when the whole movie, of course, it's Hollywood. It was a movie. But he was a more wicked man than the way he was portrayed in the movie. And I don't even know if what I'm going to tell you is actually happened, if this is true in Robert Stroud's life or not. But in the movie, Burt, and this is true, Robert Stroud was arrested. I think he killed somebody. He was arrested right at the turn between the 1800s going into the 1900s, that's the Industrial Revolution was taking place. And what happened, when he got locked up in prison, a lot of things took place. He was in there for years and years and years. I don't think he ever got out. Automobile, airplane, all those things came along. He had never rode in a car, maybe eventually did because they had to move him, but not in a plane. And in the movie with Burt Lancaster, they come from Alcatraz, they come in a boat over to the shore, and they get out, and there was reporters there. They knew they were moving them, they were shutting Alcatraz down. And this reporter, this jet, passenger jet took off, and it was loud, kind of interrupted, and this reporter looked up there, and he was looking at it, and he said, you know, Mr. Stroud, you've never flown in a plane. And in the movie, he quotes it. He said, Boeing 7, whatever it was, he quoted the weight of it, the thrust, the horsepower of the thrust of the engines, how many passengers it could hold, top speed, that it could fly, altitude. He knew everything. He quoted all that, knew all about it, but he'd never flown. He knew all about it. He knew everything there was to know about the plane, or, you know, things that you could study about the plane. He knew about it intellectually, but he didn't know about flying. He'd never felt that. He'd never experienced flight. Never experienced it. You know, you can read about all kind of things about food. Everybody's all health crazy. You read all about the food and what's in it. You can go down the ingredients and a lot of names we don't even know what's in it. We eat it anyway, right? We read all about the food and we look at the vitamins and everything it's got in it. Boy, and you can read all about it. You can read all about how to make bread. I'm going to tell you something, if you don't eat it, it won't do no good. And we eat stuff all the time. We don't know what's in it, but it's good. We like it. It may be good for you. It may not be good. And we don't have to know it. We know experientially what it tastes like, right? Huh? David, you can read all about them shrimp till you're blue in the face, but you don't know till you eat one, right? I got to explain that to you, Cheryl. I used a shrimp illustration during choir practice. Cheryl didn't know, but I got it. You don't know till you try. You don't know. You don't know. You have to experience it. So we can know about it intellectually, but don't know it. And like I said, and I'm afraid what's happening. I think this is a truth. Listen, Billy Graham said this 30 years ago, probably. He said, I don't believe He said less than 15% of the church is saved. Amen. 30 years ago. Talking about people sitting in churches every Sunday, less than 15%, he said, are probably saved. And I think what it would be that there's a lot of people sitting in churches that know all about God, but they don't know Him. They know what the Bible says. It tells us all about God. Jesus is God. We know all about Jesus. We know what He did. We know what He said. We got His words written down. We see the results in other people, what happened in their lives. And see, so a lot of people know Bible doctrine. Now listen here, I got a little star by this. Means it's important. A lot of people know Bible doctrine, what the Bible says, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. But it has no impact on their life. There's no value to it. It doesn't change their life any. Nothing happens. It's like reading instructions on anything you want to do in life, build, operate, work on, maintenance, whatever, but not following the instructions and wondering why everything's not working like it's supposed to. See, so we can know all what the Bible says. There's people out there that can quote a lot of the Bible, but they don't live according to what the Bible says. That's not a spiritual life. Huh? That's not the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them, a relationship with God. They just know about it, but they don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know it in that real way. See, knowing about Him doesn't mean that we know Him. We can read these magazines and these stars and football players and all that, know all about Him. Some of y'all probably know everything about Taylor Swift, what kind of socks she puts on in the morning. You don't know her, though. You don't know her, right? Amen. You never even met her. Never talked to her in person. Don't know her. You can know about Christ. You can know about Christianity. You can be spiritually dead and know those things. Listen, Judas. Judas sat with Jesus personally in the presence of God in the flesh. You know there had to be an awareness of the presence of God. And man, heard Jesus preach and pray and saw miracles that He did. Can you imagine the power of God raising a little girl up from the dead and you're standing in the presence of that? But He didn't know Him. He didn't know Him. No, He didn't know Him in reality. He didn't know Him in a spiritual way. Satan knows more about Jesus than you and I. Amen. As far as the Word goes. He knows Jesus. Man, he's talked to Him head to head. Went with Him head to head in the wilderness. Huh? Attacked Him face to face. Man, I mean, he knows about Jesus. Don't know Him. Doesn't know Him in a real experiential way that I'm speaking about as far as salvation goes. So what we do is, and this is what happens a lot of times, I think, in Christianity. What it is, we get into church and we've made a profession. Maybe we've came down to an altar. Maybe we've been baptized. Maybe all of the above. We've done all those things and we get out there and we know all about God. We know about God, but we don't know God. But you know what? You can't live a Christian life apart from God, and we fail all the time and we can't figure out why that is. Why are we always failing and stumbling? And the reason is you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God, and you don't receive the Holy Spirit of God until you get saved. And so what it is, we got this little bone in our head to say, and there's something missing in my life. You know what it is? It's that sorry church I go to and that sorry preacher I go to, and I got to find somebody else to go to where, you know, they got some smoke and mirrors and a disco ball and I'll feel a little more excited, which is really only appealing to the flesh and it's not appealing to the spirit. And boy, they got that bumping music, man, and you know, we can get it going on, man, and you feel good because it appeals to the flesh. We want to do that. We're trying to drum it up, huh? And there's a lot of Christian music, man. I like music, man. Music's good, and it's all appeal to. But I will tell you one thing. Listen, when Jesus was out there preaching and He had thousands of people sitting at His feet, He didn't have a, what was that guy that sang along with Billy Graham all the time all those years? George Beverly Shea. He didn't have no George Beverly Shea. Huh? He didn't have no praise team. He didn't have no worship leader. He didn't have none of that going on. He preached the Word. He preached Himself, and people were being saved. People were being transformed. I ain't got a beef about that, but if that's what's doing it for you, something else is missing in your life. And so a lot of the Christian songs that we even see in the world today, just by the way they are, the way they're written, the way they're going, it's appealing to the flesh, not to the spirit. And you know, and you feel like, woo, man, I feel like I got goosebumps just sticking up and down. I know I'm saved. That doesn't necessarily mean you are. I got goosebumps way before I ever got saved, right? Huh? I mean, it was a lot of things that did it. And so we're trying to, it's a synthetic spirituality. But I'll tell you what, it won't work. And what happens? You go right back out of that service and your life never changed. And you go right back out and you live in the same old life and the same old power, power of the intellect, power of the will, power of you know, what man can do apart from God. That's how your life goes. And that's and then do you have a desire to witness to anybody about Jesus? No, because you don't know him yourself. Huh? Do you have a compassion for lost souls? No, because you don't have the love of God in your heart. You know, can you get the victory over the minutest thing in your life? No, because you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to sound mean. I'm trying to just be emphatic enough to where, you know what? You know, you ask yourself, do I know God or do I just know about God? That you question that, man. You know, this is what you need to find out, man. You got to be. Listen, sometimes the doctors just got to come up and look and say, listen, you're going to die. You know, I mean, there ain't, how many ways can they say it? You know, you got bad news. Listen, we can beat it. Well, you know, man, there's a slight hope, a 1 in a billion chance. But listen, man, you're going to die. It's just the facts. You know, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, listen, you're already dead. You know, you're spiritually dead. And so we can't drum it up. Knowing about God is a powerless thing. It's good to know about God. But most of America knows about God. Really. Most of America knows about God. And look what's going on in this country. Knowing about God isn't doing squat. Huh? He hadn't done anything for anybody. Probably shouldn't have said it that way. Second thing is then really knowing God. Knowing God. John 17:3 says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Notice it doesn't say, this is life eternal, that they might know about thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It said, but to know thee. You got to know him. Knowledge by acquaintance is always better than knowledge by description. And when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart and call on Jesus Christ to save us, and I mean when we mean it, I mean, listen, you can do that. You could train a parrot to quote Romans 10:9. You know, they got talking birds. Is that bird going to get saved because you trained them to say that? No. Oh. Listen, we can, it's when it's real. I mean, when it's a real thing. Huh? When you get a little, boy, and you get a little of them tears in your eyes about it, huh? When something's real in your life. And what happens when we get saved? God gives us his Holy Spirit instantly. Man, now listen, there's a fullness to that that you might not have right away or may lose the fullness where you don't haven't released everything, turned everything over to God. But listen, he puts his Spirit within us. And this Holy Spirit begins to illuminate us and we see things that we never saw before. You say, wow. Happens all the time. And I read stuff in the Bible. I've just about preached everything in the Bible. I've been pastoring 27 years. I've preached about it. There's something in there. I'm sure I haven't got it all, but I've got a lot of it. Huh? But the thing is, you'll see things. You'll read things. You go, wow, man, I never saw that before. Just like the verse I started out with. Everybody quotes that first verse. Oh, it hadn't entered into the heart of man. Yeah, it has. The ones that got saved, it entered into their heart. It tells you in the next verse. But, huh? We miss it. We just miss it. It illuminates your mind. Huh? You know, we're illuminated by God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And Jesus is God. And there's God the Father, God the Son. And, you know, God the Holy Spirit. They're one. And you cannot separate them. They're not separate in that sense. The Holy Spirit is not God's messenger only. He's God. Every act of God is done by all three. Every act of God is done by all three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man. What is God like? What's God like? Like Jesus. What's the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. Because Jesus is God. That's it. And at salvation, listen, the Holy Spirit penetrates us. It's an invasion. I read this one other place and I heard Harold say it and he probably read it where I read it. The Holy Spirit is an invasion of the heart by God. I was a welder for years and years, man, welder. I like blacksmithing. I never did a lot of blacksmithing, but I worked for a guy who's an old German guy, and he knew, and he told me about in the old days before they had electric welding machines, they could weld, they welded iron together. It's called forge welding. And he would talk with that German accent, Daniel, what you do? And he'd tell me how to do it. And you put an iron in there, and you put it in the coals, you got them coals, and you get the bellows going. Y'all seen this on TV, Forged in Fire. And they get the bellows going, they get it glowing red hot. And he told me, he said, when you see the sparks coming off of it, it's ready. And you get two pieces, and then you put them together, and you can hammer them together, and they're just as welded as they're one. But when you get that fire in that, you know what it looks like? You got the iron, and you got the fire. Two things. And you get that iron in the fire, and you get that bellows going on it, and that thing will get glowing red, buddy. And when you pull it out, you got the iron in the fire and the fire in the iron. You can touch that thing onto some kindling or something, and it'll light it up. It'll set it on fire. You can't get the two separate. It's one. That's a filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in us. There's no... And I've been sharing this with you, and maybe I said something Sunday morning, but I'll say it again because I know everybody don't pay attention to everything that I say. So you got to pay attention. Pay attention, and I'm going to tell it again. I start praying a different way here recently in my mind. See, I knew everything I'm telling you. And I said this maybe last week. Some people pray like they're looking up, you know, God, they're looking at God like he's way off in heaven. And then you get a little more spiritual, and you pray, and you know he's really near. You're praying like he's right here. But I'm going to tell you what, where he is. He's in me. And it's not like there's a little room in there and he's sitting in there like Jonah in the whale's belly. He's in me. He's in me. And when I pray now, I pray to God in me. See, that's the real thing. Man, he's not off somewhere else. See, Janiah didn't get this. You know, I thought I was alone. No, you're not alone. See? God's in us. And it's an invasion of us by God. Maybe I said the heart, but heart, I mean in the seat of the emotions, but all of us. And apart from the Holy Spirit of God, we can't know God. The fullness of the Spirit is a visitation from heaven, a baptism of God. And the church in Acts knew that. Man, I love to read in Acts. You can't read about the church in Acts. I mean, man, when it said, you just reading it, you feel the buzz. Man, boy, it said they had joy and love and fellowship and all things in common. And man, they were rejoicing and praising God. 5,000 people. Boy, if we were all like that, we'd probably add 5,000 people to the church. But they were going out and talking all about God. I love it. And I'm going to tell you another thing about it. You know what? They met every day. They didn't meet every day. They met every night. They met every night. Why? Because they had jobs, brother. Well, I got jobs too. And look at us, man. Listen. The church in Acts in those days, listen, they didn't have Walmart. I know that's a shock to some of you younger people. They plowed their ground and they grew their food. They grew plants that they made their clothes from. They had to get it out of the plants. You got it? This is way ahead of most of us. They had to get the fibers to make the cloth to make the cloth first, just to make the clothes from. You had to prepare you had to grow your food and prepare your food, and there wasn't any refrigeration, buddy, and it was day in, day out, and you made the clothes and you made that. And I'm gonna tell you something, they did all that and they went to church every night. For you people that have an affinity with a night service, night church. Was they tired? But man, they were full of God. There ain't no such thing as being tired and being full of God. You ain't seen nobody that had a God on them like white on rice, and they were thinking, oh, I gotta go take a nap. Mm-mm. No. Man, they were excited, man. They got down there, and why did they meet every day? Why did they meet every night? They had their jobs, they couldn't meet in the middle of the day, they had to work. Why did they do it? Because they wanted to. They just wanted to be around God. They wanted to be where God was at. They wanted to be where God was working. They wanted to be where the people of God were at. Man, they was excited to get around everybody, and everybody was overflowing with God and overflowing with the love of God. And that's probably our problem. Everybody's not overflowing with the love of God. Why do you want to get around a bunch of clapperheads that aren't filled with God? It's not very encouraging. It's not very exciting, right? But they were full of God. And man, they just wanted to get together. Man, they met. There wasn't no rule book. They said, well, you got to be there every night. No. Right there in the book of Acts. And I'm going to tell you what, that church was getting something done. Or God was getting something done. Let me word it. This is correct. God was getting something done in that church, through that church. 5,000 one day got saved. Another time, 3,000 in one day. Boy, we'd have a building project going on. We'd have to put a church on the whole lot. I don't know where y'all going to park. We're going to be all church, right? I mean, this is what happened. It was a difference. Why? Because they knew God. They knew the love of God. They knew the joy of God. They knew the peace of God. Man, they just wanted to be around it. They didn't want to get away from it. They probably hated going to work. Huh? When they got off, they said, well, I'm going to get around godly people. They weren't satisfied with the God minute. Huh? With the God hour. They weren't satisfied with that. They didn't have a 30-second prayer at the beginning of the day and a 30-second prayer at the end of the day and a 10-second prayer when they had mealtime. Man, listen, they talked to God all day long. Why? Because they knew God. God was dwelling in them and they knew it. There was a relationship. This is what a relationship is. Moses, he's been popping up in my illustrations here a lot. Moses knew God for 80 years. He knew about God. Let me say, Moses knew about God for 80 years. His parents were godly people. They, you know, the whole story, they put him in the ark and down by the bulrushes and Pharaoh's daughter found him and he went 40 years old. He saw somebody attacking a slave, murdered that guy. Love of God in his heart. Murdered that guy and fled out in the desert for 40 more. But then one day, he was walking along and there was a burning bush on the side of the road. And he turned aside to see it. I would too. He turned aside to see it and he went up there and God said, Moses, just stand on holy ground. He said, take off your shoes. I didn't know that. Took my shoes off. God started talking to him. Now he knew God. Later on, he went on Mount Sinai. He was up there 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of God. You think Moses slept? You think Moses was tired? You think Moses, he didn't eat. He didn't eat or drink. You think he was hungry and he wasn't worried about it? Huh? God, it was God. And I'll tell you what, man, and he after that he prayed, he said, God, I want to see your face. He didn't know. And God said, Moses, he said, you can't see my face and live, but I'll tell you what, had a relationship with God. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, which is a picture of Jesus. Huh? It's a picture of Jesus. See, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. You can't see. If you want to see God, you got to see Jesus. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm not going to let you see my face. I'll let you see my hinder parts, whatever that was. And he took his hand off, and that's what he got to see. And I'll tell you what, I'd take it. I'd take it, man. I'd take it any day of the week. Man, put him in there and let him see. I'll take that. And then there's a little place. I'll read this to you over in Exodus. And this is when he had come back from Mount Sinai, and the people had made the golden calf. Y'all know that story. And Moses was all aggravated about that. And down in verse 13 of Exodus 33, God and Moses is talking to God, and he said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. If you're not going with us, I don't want to go. That's what he said. I mean, this was, boy, show me thy way that I may know thee. That's what he said. And if thy presence don't go with us, I'm not going. I need you or I won't make it. I won't make it. Do you know God or do you only know about God? Think about the people that knew about God only and the people that knew God. Have you seen the burning bush, metaphorically? Have you seen the hinder parts? Have you met God face to face? If you hadn't, you need to get saved. If not, you only know about God, you don't know God. Ask him. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. William, come up and lead us in an invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, and help us all, Lord, search our hearts. We may know you, Lord, only maybe some here that know about you. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you, though, Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart. Reveal yourself, Lord, in a powerful way, Lord. Help them call on your name to know you in a real experiential way. Lord, fill us with your spirit today. Fill us with your love, your presence here. And then as we leave, ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I have the sight of Jesus, our invitation.